And what I hope to do is fashion a morning where we're going to look at the world's view of strength and power, and then we'll move on to looking at God's view of strength and power. I happen to like the contrast of when I speak about looking at those two things, the world versus God, because there's so much to talk about because the discrepancy is so large. And then hopefully when we're all finished, we can have a lesson that we will leave with here that we can practically apply to our lives. So if we would, let's commit this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, just thank you that we can all be here together this Sunday morning. And I thank you, Father, that we all want to be here this Sunday morning. Because, Lord, what we speak about is nothing that we have devised, nothing that we have invented, but that it comes from you and that this is your way, and that we want to learn more about it and be more like you. We thank you for this time. We just pray that hearts would be open and receptive to your word. Amen. Have you ever seen a commercial on television? And I know it was put out by United Airlines. And there's a business person on the airplane, and he's about 25,000, 30,000 feet in the air, and he puts his hands back like this, and he leans back in his chair, and he says, "Yeah, I've got the contracts out. I called the CFO. The numbers look good. This baby's in the bag. Have I got this thing wrapped or what?" And he sits back with this fatuous grin on his face, and to me, it was just such a picture. Now, this guy was completely in control of what he had going on with this particular business deal. And we like that. We as human beings, we like to feel that we're in control of our environment, of our lives, of our destiny. That we have the power over a given situation, any situation. That we have the strength to turn things our way for the better or for the good. One of the things that struck me when I saw that commercial is, what would happen to that businessman? Where would he find his strength if all of a sudden his deal fell through? Or if he got off the plane and there was a message for him and his company just declared bankruptcy? Or if there was a phone call and he just found out his daughter had leukemia? Or as he was sitting back thinking about how well he had pulled all the strings together, the plane started losing altitude at a rather rapid rate. So if we consider this airline or airplane example as an analogy to life, I'd just like to share that I think most of us anyway, we kind of cruise along in our lives with a minimal amount of turbulence. And we've also been conditioned when we do hit the little bumps in life and the little turbulences in life that we rely on our own strength and the strength with which we surround ourselves with, such as not only ourselves, but family, friends, things. We tend to overcome life's little bumps by relying on those types of strengths, what we can do. For example, I've heard it said often that, well, I'll get by on the strength of my intelligence. And I'll figure a way out of this thing. Or we rely on the strength of our cunning. Well, what they don't know won't hurt them, so I'll just put this into place here and we'll fix that situation. Or our resolve. The old adage, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Or money. How much does it cost? Well, just pay it and fix it. Or a sense of humor. And this one's easy to spot because there's always somebody out there when the going gets rough, they crack a joke. Or our status. Or our good looks. Or our experience. Or our muscles. Especially muscles if you're in high school and you're in a high school competitive sport. But for the most part, we are successful utilizing these things in our lives because, as I said, most of our flights are relatively not too bumpy. But again, it's compounded by the fact that in our lives, we're reinforced by the world that we live in. And this world esteems and holds in high regard power and strength. And that's obvious in most institutions that we see in America today, in the world today. Politics. You got to be a part of the big, strong machine. You have to have strong support. That's what it takes to win. Chicago, you may need a few other things to win, but For the most part, it is the strength of your backing, the strength of your support, and your own personal strength, your physical stamina, your strength. In business, every year, executives have got to come out with strong financial indicators as to the performance of their corporation, return on investment, net income, stock price data. We review that type of thing. And I just was breezing through a New York paper about 2 weeks ago, and I was amazed at how much press this guy Donald Trump is getting because he's getting a divorce. And because the guy has so much money. And he wields that money as a club, as a power tool. Sports, we're inundated with it there also. Anytime someone wins a championship, a Super Bowl, a World Series, what's the next thing they have to do? Well, they have to form a dynasty and go on and do more. They are rated by their one-loss record. All through history, as we've been taught, who do we study? We study the strong and the powerful. I've never been in a history class, and I've studied a relatively weak, ineffective, nondescript person. It has never happened, and it probably never will happen. See, we're often reminded that the strong survive. That when we're in this earth, it's the survival of the fittest. That we can overcome. That we've got to get it together. I remember my football coach used to pull me aside just about every single practice and say, Johnson, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, but it's the size of the fight in the dog. What he was really telling me is I wasn't shaping up and I didn't have it to play football. But we've got to be tough. We've got to keep cool. And we hear it over and over and over again. Movies, we read it in novels, we see it in commercials, we see it in sports. It's in our high schools and it's in our businesses. Matter of fact, I thought it would be interesting I did this little exercise with my wife the other night. I said, what is your epitome of strength? You can even take it out of the fact that we're all sitting in a church today. I mean, take it outside of church. What's your epitome of strength? It was interesting. My wife's response was, I think of a mountain. It's so large, it's so thick, and it's immovable. And I had the same type of thought because I was leafing through Life magazine a couple of days ago, and I happened to see a full-color page of the eruption of Mount St. Helens. And that, to me, is the epitome of strength. As far as a man is concerned, or a human is concerned, Hercules does it for me. I think of this strapping beast of a man that's out there, stripped to the waist with his belt, with thighs like this, that nothing can happen to him. And so, it's not that we are caught up in a macho society by the sense of being caught up, but it's there, and it impacts us, and it affects us. Matter of fact, I've even seen it a little bit here at Bethany Chapel, how it starts to pervade. I think it was the second week that I started coming to Bethany Chapel. I walked downstairs, and Ed Marshall, Brad Stringer, and Brian Caskey were leaning up against the wall. And I said, hey, fellas, can you tell me where the men's room is? And they all looked at me, and they went, that way. So I went to the men's room and stayed there for about 2 or 3 hours. But strength. If we look at how we put so much emphasis on having strength and having power over our situation, because that's what the world really reveals and regards, the antithesis of that is that weakness is not good. And that's true. How many times have you seen a man or a woman put up there trying to cover? You don't see that often because it betrays a weakness. There's something that it just amazes me for the most part, and I don't know why, but in this particular city that I happen to fly to often, and it's Detroit, when I get off the plane, invariably there will be families out there with signs saying, welcome home, Jim, welcome home, Laura, and either the child is coming back from college or it's a military person who's on leave and they're coming home. And the minute this guy or this gal gets off the plane, the mother will run to him for this child, squeeze him, and just the tears are pouring down her cheek. And she's hugging him. And then along comes the father. And the father kind of stops, and he pauses, and the son will stop and pause, and they'll reach out and shake their But you know, deep down inside, he just wants to reach out. And he wants to grab that son, that daughter, and hug him and show that emotion. But it's his strength there, not to do it in public, not to be looked upon as being weak. But to me, it became fascinating to look at the difference between how little strength and power we really do have versus how much we think we have. Because we all hurt, we all fear, we all despair, and we all doubt at times, some more than others. And the premise is this, is that when things are going well, it is very easy to fall back and look at the strength of what I've done, or what I've accomplished, and the things that I've surrounded myself with, and how they've helped me along. But when things go bad, when things go wrong, when things go not according to plan, we don't find that strength. And so we go look for it elsewhere. Hopefully, I think most of the people sitting up here today go and look for that strength to God. But many don't. They don't go to God. So they'll try other things because they know their own strength is not enough. So they'll try drugs. They'll try alcohol. They'll try fear and anxiety, which really comes down to ulcers. And on and on and on it'll go. You see, our strength and the strength of those things that surround ourselves are of little help to us at the worst of times. So the premise here is that why would we rely on those things even during the best of times? It's pointless. We're really suffering from a delusion of grandeur, for the most part, about what we possess and what we can control. And I was, in reading through this, I thought of Jesus and Pilate, where Pilate, Jesus is before Pilate, and Pilate says, "Don't you understand that I have the authority or the power to crucify you?" Jesus said, "You would have no authority unless it was given to you from above, or unless it came from God." But just perhaps, we're putting a little too much confidence in ourselves these days. And when we do that, we miss tapping into the greatest source of strength, the greatest depth of a reservoir of strength that's available to man. And that is the strength of Jesus. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 12. And what I'd like to do is just pick out three verses that are in scriptures that I think speak to this topic of strength and where we need to rely for strength on. And they speak to me that way. And I pray that they would also speak to you that way. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read from verses 9 and 10. "And he has said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" These two verses to me are just the summation of the all-sufficiency of Christ for all things. But it begs the question of why does God choose to work in weakness? And it's because so often that's what it takes for us to come to Him completely stripped of relying on other things. That's how God works. He doesn't want, "Well, I'll give you half of this and then your money and your muscles can take the other half of that." God wants our total commitment to Him, our total reliance to Him. I've kind of had I've been living through an object lesson myself on this particular verse. And I had a change of venue in the job that I have. It wasn't a promotion. It just means they heaped about 200% more responsibility on me. half of which I had never even seen or touched nor heard of before in the first place. And so it was interesting how I responded to this. My initial reaction was, I can't do this. But then I set out through pride to try and prove myself and all these other people that said, you know, you may not be the right guy for this job. Wrong. So I grabbed everything I possibly could of my own resolve, and I tried to make headway on this thing. And I didn't even give a thought to getting on my knees and praying to the Lord about it. And I went through about a week of this, and I was pretty miserable. Fear and anxiety. Chris Mitchell and Jim Starr just went through the whole study, or going through the study on Matthew, where it says, be anxious for nothing. And I failed that test miserably. And it was impacting my sleep. It was impacting my family life. It was bad. I handled it wrong. Until about a week later, I said, that's it. Now, I am just going to get down and I say, God, you need to take control of this because I can't. And it's not that it was the biggest thing that ever happened in my life, but it's just that I didn't give it to God. I didn't go to the strength, the pool of strength that is there. Now what happened? Well, everything didn't turn out to be a bed of roses after that. But how I handled it, how I internalized it, and how I went forward from there had a peace about it and a confidence about it that my own resolve just did not have that problem. The more I relied on my own methods and devices to try and overcome, the less I relied on Christ. And so I was cutting off that line of strength because I was relying on myself. And it taught me firsthand that, and you don't have to turn there, but I'll just read James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. It says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And look at that verse we just read, 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, and James 1, 2 and 3. And that is, in weakness, God works and gives you strength. And so James is saying, expect and be happy when these things happen, because that's when you're going to get closer to God. And that's when you will see and feel the power of God that much more real in your life. Now, this is not the wisdom of the world. I mean, people look at this and they say, well, this is foolishness. I mean, I spend a great deal of effort and strength to try and keep away from various trials. It's just the opposite of God. Consider it joy when they happen, because it makes you shed all those other things that you've been relying on and go right to God and rely on Him. He has all we need whenever we need it, and we need to go to Him to get it. A second verse, if you would, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 16 in Ephesians. And Paul is praying that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Now, I want to break that verse down into three components. First, according to the riches of his glory. That is how God gives us strength and how he gives us power. And consider that phrase, riches of his glory. God's strength and God's power is awesome. It's beyond our comprehension. If you just look at creation and all that's in the world, nobody comes close to that. And I've always wondered what artists do when they display their work. I can't think of the word now, but what a great idea it would be if someone took all the great works that man has ever created, and we'll just excuse my artistic experience, but we'll take the Sears Tower and we'll put it there. We'll take the pyramids and we'll put them there. We'll take great cities and we'll put them there. And then on the other side of the hall, you would have God's creation. And it would never stack up to what God, in his power, and what man, in his power and his strength, could ever compete with what God has made. And God spoke it into creation. He didn't build it into creation. And so the point is this. Why would we want to go anywhere else but to that type and source and extent of strength rely on the riches of his glory. To do what? Well, the second part, to be strengthened with power, his power. And this is the crux of the argument. This is what we need in so many cases in our lives, is his strength and his power to meet any circumstance. And lastly, where? In the inner man. Now, in the book of John, there's a verse where Jesus says, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you." And the interesting part of it is it says, "I do not give to you as the world gives." That's the inner man. That's where we get the power. That's where we get the peace within the inner man. I'll give you an example of that. I heard somebody at work say the other day that I'm praying that this lotto ticket that's worth $45 million, that God's going to bring it home for me. And in the context of what I'm talking about today, that is tantamount to saying, "God, would you allow me to win the lottery so I can put all my strength into this money that you've just given me?" That's ludicrous to ask God for something like that. Because what he's saying is, you come to me for that strength, for that power. You don't go to the Illinois State Lottery Commission for that. Besides, you're probably not going to win anything. Or, somebody told me the story about where they asked God, "God, what is time to you?" And God said, "Well, a minute is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a minute." And he said, "God, what is money to you?" He said, "Well, a dollar is as $1,000,000, and $1,000,000 is a dollar." And the guy said, "Well, God, in that case, could I have $1,000,000? And God said, "In a minute." So what do we want? We want the power and the strength in the inner man, but not forgetting that it's his will that we're praying for. We seek his will in us. We pray for his will in others, our neighbors, our brothers, our sisters, and also his will in the world. Lastly, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 13. And it reads, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Again, the crux of the argument. Underline all and underline him. A constant awareness of the presence of God and what he has to offer us. And if we seek him first, and we seek him for the things that we know he possesses, because we know who he is. As Christians, we should know better, because we've come into a personal relationship with Jesus, and we know who he is and why he does these things for us. And we can do all things through him who strengthens me. So what is our object lesson for today? Well, I think number one, understand your are my limitations. That is, we cannot be in control of all events in our lives that touch us. We do not have that kind of strength or that kind of power. We don't possess it. We can't buy it. We can't own it. We can't surround ourselves with it. We're not going to find it from our friends. We're not going to find it from our family. Okay? We are not the master of our fate or the ruler of our destiny or the captain of our ships, as it were. Christ is. Don't lose sight of that fact. Second, always seek the Lord's strength. There are no substitutes. There's no reason to go anywhere else except to him. Whether we're high or low, whether in good times or in bad times, in fear and anxiety or in contentment and peace. When we want that strength, pray for it. When we receive that strength, praise God for it. And he'll give you the strength to wait for it by waiting on him. He'll give you the strength to rely on him. And he'll give you the strength to seek his counsel. Lastly, take advantage of the potential of this strength and power that God is so freely and willingly wanting to share with us. And I'm not up here saying that this is easy. You can just read a couple of Bible verses and everything's going to change in my life, in your life too. No, you're not hearing that up here. You're not hearing that it's easy. Okay, His ways are not our ways. We've got years and years of conditioning of doing it differently. We see things that impact us. And I'm not sitting here by saying that if we're not doing this, we're not taking full advantage of it, that we are missing the mark, we're blowing it, we're not good Christians. Now, those are condemning statements. Satan condemns. The Holy Spirit convicts. But maybe what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, He's saying it to me, is that you should pay a little more attention to where you're going for strength in this life. It's that conviction that we need that I want to leave you with today. What I'm also saying is that potential that's there is just that. It's potential. And if we fix our mind on Him, we can turn that potential strength and power into real strength and power. And I define the word potential this way. I heard a basketball coach or somebody that said, define potential this way. After 15 or 16 sportscasters thrust a microphone into his face and says, you know, coach, every one of those guys you had out there trying that floor had the potential to be a superstar. And he said to these sportscasters, he says, you know, my definition of potential is you just haven't done it yet. And that's what I'm saying, is that it's there. But we've got to go for it. We've got to go after it. And we have to do it. So, in essence, what are you relying on? Maybe when someone asks you the question, what is the epitome of strength? Maybe our answer should be, instead of a Hercules, maybe it should be someone kneeling in prayer, seeking the strength and the counsel of the Lord. Maybe it should be a knock at the door and a man and a woman standing there with a hot plate of food that's bringing to your household and your family because you couldn't make that dinner that night. Because God gives us strength not so much always to ourselves, but He gives it through others. Maybe our epitome of strength should be a Sunday school teacher that holds a full-time job, has a full-time family responsibility, but is there every Sunday with a lesson prepared and is training our children to come to know Jesus in a personal way. But my epitome is this, is that someone who understands that no matter what the world dishes out, they will never be separated from Christ. He says, I will never forsake you, nor will I ever leave you. So where are we finding our strength today? Have you found the strength to repent of a life without God? See, that's where it starts. You can't ask a father for a gift if you're not a son or a daughter. And so if there's anyone sitting here today that can't actually sit there beyond a shadow of a doubt and say, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I know I'm going to heaven, then they need to call on the strength of the Lord and come to Jesus face to face and say, Jesus, I failed you. I don't want to do that anymore. I want you to be my Savior. Because that's where it all starts, on the cross. Are we finding the strength to forgive those people around us, those that we work with, those that we worship with? Wives, have you forgiven your husbands? Husbands, have you forgiven your wives for little petty things? I'll give you the strength of forgiveness as outlined on the cross when Jesus, butchered, hung up, beaten, cries out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Are we getting the strength to accept the Lord's will in our lives? One thing to pray for it and receive it, another thing to accept it. That takes strength. Accept your circumstances and your situation and live all your aspects for God, all aspects of your life for God. I just want to close by saying, these days, my sense of it is this, at Bethany and in the world, is that there is a need for the strength of God. is a greater need than I've seen since I've been here. Because we need each other's strength to be a strong, spiritually healthy body for Christ. And if that strength and that body is going to endure, that strength needs to come from God. And we need to go there together. So seek your strength and your power from Him and nowhere else. Let's pray. Father, we just pray and say thank you that this reservoir is there, this potential is there, and that, Lord, you have instructed us and you will guide us to have at it. We thank you for it, just as we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, so that the penalty of our sins would be paid by him, and thus believing in that, we have life eternal and become sons and daughters of a heavenly Father. We thank you now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.